Looking at the fruit of the Spirit, and today particularly we're looking at love and joy and peace. So our key verse is the verse in Galatians 5, which says, "The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." A while ago, a friend of mine who doesn't belong to this church came to visit me. And she's a lady who is not English, so sometimes she forgets her words and sometimes she expresses herself slightly differently from the way that I might. So the conversation went like this. She came in and she said, "Monica, can you pray for me?" So I said, "Yes, of course. What would you like me to pray for?" She said, and she couldn't find the word. And so she, "Oh, no, I know. She said, it's a fruit of the Spirit. I said, "Okay. Is it love?" "No, I don't want that." is it joy? "No, don't want that." "Is it peace?" "No." Okay. So I go through the list, and as I'm getting towards the end, I think perhaps it's not a fruit of the Spirit that she wants. And then I say, "Self-control." She said, "Yes, that's the one. That's what I want." So I said, "Okay, I can pray." Now today, I'm working on the assumption that we do want love and joy and peace, because these are the beautiful characteristics of God. That's what God is like. So we're going to talk about these today. So I'm going to do it the other way around, and we're going to look at peace first, and I'm going to use a story which Jesus told, which happened, not which Jesus told, a story about when the disciples didn't have much peace. Okay, so I'm going to need the, Ivan, underneath your chair, there's some props that are going to make a boat. Sorry, Leon. Yes. We're going to make a boat, and I need some disciples. Now, this is open to anybody who is a child or who used to be a child. So, Izzy, do you want to help make the boat? You can join them up. Can you do that? Anyone else? Come. Okay, if you can join those up, we're going to make a boat. Thank you. And if you want to stay and be disciples, that would be fantastic. As I said, this is also open to people who used to be children as well as people who are children now. Okay. Oh, it's not a very big boat. Okay, but we're going to make this. Imagine this is our boat. All right, now, are you guys going to be disciples for me? Yeah, if you'd like to come and stand over here for a moment. And Daniel, you're Jesus. Yeah, so come over here.
Hmm? Do you need to be a disciple as well?
You can be a disciple. Yes. Well done. Okay. So it was like this. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's get into the boat and go across the lake." So they got into the boat, all of them, in, if you can manage that. Well, try. And they sat down. Okay. We need a bigger boat. And Jesus fell asleep. Okay, now, we're going to pause that here for a moment. Luke, I need you, please. Now, you might think you're watching this. Actually, you're taking part. On this side is the rain.
Right.
Now, you're good at rain, I know this. Very good. No, that's fine, that'll do. This side, you are the wind and the waves. So we want lots of wind. Woo! And lots of waves. Swoosh, swoosh, swoosh. Good, lovely. Thank you. That's a practice. Okay, so we'll go back to the story now. So the disciples are in the boat, Jesus is asleep, and as they're sailing across the lake, there's a massive storm that comes, and the rain comes down, and the wind blows, and the waves fill the boat, and the disciples are frightened, and they want to, the water's filling the boat. Can you get the water out? Have you got anything? No, use your hands to get the water out of the boat. Can you do that? But they can't do it. They can't manage it by themselves. They feel like they're going to drown, and they can't save themselves. So they wake Jesus up. And he got up. Okay. And he said to the rain,
stop.
Very good. And he said to the wind and the waves,
stop.
And they did. And all was quiet. And then the disciples looked at Jesus, and they were afraid, because the wind and the waves, they thought the wind and the waves were going to kill them. They thought they were going to drown. But Jesus is stronger than the wind and the waves. So how strong is that? And they're a bit afraid of somebody that strong. Well done. Thank you very much. Okay, I wanted to ask two questions about the story. Okay, this again is open to anyone who is a child or who used to be a child. So the first question, apart from Michelle, who already knows the answer. So the first question is, whose idea was it to get in the boat and cross the lake? It was Jesus' idea. Yes, well done. You can have a sweetie if there's one around there that you'd like. They're in a... Are they not in... Well, I left them over here. There's a... Okay. It's fine. Okay, that's something to hold in mind. It was Jesus' idea. Okay, it was Jesus' idea. Thanks, Michelle. During the storm, what did the disciples feel? What did they feel like? They were afraid. They were terrified. They didn't know what to do. And they knew that they could not save themselves. Now, actually, that's quite a good place to be in. It's a bit uncomfortable, but they knew that they could not save themselves. So they did the only thing that they could do. They turned to Jesus. They called on Jesus. Now, sometimes we're in circumstances that are a bit like a big storm. And fast, we need to do the same thing. Okay, we can't save ourselves. We can turn to Jesus. Now, at the end, were the disciples at peace? Not really, because they were still terrified of Jesus. Yeah? So peace, you know, comes not from the circumstances we're in, either the bad circumstances or even the good circumstances, but from our relationship with God. Our relationship with God. Joy. So joy, lots of things make us happy, don't they? What makes you happy? Who's got something they can tell me that makes... Yes, Cash. Food. Lovely, I like food as well. Food is good. Anything else? What makes you happy? Time with friends, wonderful. You might be happy if the sun shines. Yeah, you might be happy if your team wins their match. Yeah, okay. Those are great things. You might be happy if you're going on holiday. Wonderful. All those things are fantastic things that God has given us to enjoy. Okay. The Bible says that God gives us richly to enjoy everything. Okay. God who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment, is what the verse says. All we need for our enjoyment, he gives us. Okay. Now, these things we've talked about, they're great things, but they are temporary things. They're things that don't last. So the weather might be good today and bad tomorrow. Your team might win this week and not next week. You go on holiday, you have to come back. So although these things are great things and God has given them to us, they're temporary things. So our joy needs to be found in something deeper than that. It's found in the promises of God. The promises of God, which don't fail, which don't change, and which last forever. There's no expiry date on the promises of God. Who'd like to give me a promise? A promise that God has given. Sarah. I will never leave you or forsake you. Fantastic. Barbara, did you have one? It's a good one. Sarah. Nothing will separate you from the love of God. What an amazing promise. Nothing will separate us from the love of God. There are many, many promises that God has given us. These are promises that should give us joy, because they will last forever. Wonderful things. Now, you know, sometimes in the Bible, wine is a symbol of joy. Okay. There's a story, which you may know, about how Jesus turned water into wine. Now, at the beginning, there was lots of water. And when Jesus spoke, there was lots of wine. Lots of wine. And the people were very happy. They liked it that there was a lot of wine. But there's a verse in Psalms, which says, the joy you have given me is more than they will ever have when with all their corn and wine. So if you like wine, it's okay. But there's something better than that, the joy that God gives us. If wine is an issue, that's okay, because God has given us greater joy than when you have wine. Your presence, this is again the psalmist, your presence fills me with joy and brings me pleasure forever. So this is something which is not just future, it is future, but it's also present. Your presence fills me with joy. It fills me with joy. So we don't need to worry if other people seem to be having a better time or have got better things. So for us, no FOMO, we're not missing out. God gives us everything we need for our enjoyment, and the promises of God never fail. And our names, by the way, are written in heaven. Isn't that something to rejoice about? Yes. Okay. Love. We're going to look at a story. We're going to read a story about a person showing great love for Jesus. And Phil's going to read it.
John 12, verses 1 to 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived. Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of that perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wage. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me.
So we're not going to act this one out, but we're going to use imagination a little bit to help us get into the story. Okay. So Jesus here is reclining at the table. So in those days, they didn't sit on chairs around the table. They lay on couches, and the food was in the middle. And this Mary came, and she poured the perfume onto his feet. Now, this wasn't the cheap stuff from Poundland. Okay, this was expensive perfume. It's expensive perfume. If you happen to have an expensive perfume, you don't need very much of it to smell nice. You need a tiny dab, and that's plenty. This was expensive perfume, and she poured it all on his feet. A whole lot. Now, it was about a pint, so if you can imagine a pint of milk, Okay, it was that much, quite a lot, quite a lot. And perhaps those of you who work and earn a wage, if you can imagine for a moment your annual salary. Now, for all of you, that's going to be a different amount, but actually that is what this perfume was worth. Okay, your annual salary, that's what the perfume was worth to Mary. And she gave it all. She poured it on his feet. You can't get it back afterwards, it's gone. She poured it all on his feet. This act of love is what she did. Now, I thought about this story some time ago when I was reading this. I thought about this story and I was quite annoyed with Judas. You know, he says, what a waste, what a waste. Why didn't you give that money to the poor? And I'm annoyed at him. As I'm being annoyed, there's a voice in my head which says, so where would you be if you were at this scene? Where would you be? So this is not where would you like to be, but where would you be? And I can quite easily hear myself saying, that's a waste. What good is that? What good is that? I can hear myself saying that. So that puts me in the same position as Judas. I don't like that very much because I know who Judas was. But in fact, if you look at the other stories, the stories in the other Gospels of this event, one of them says the disciples objected. So it wasn't just Judas. So sometimes we think he's the baddie and the others are okay, actually. No. But love. Mary showed her love. And it's a picture. It was an amazing amount of perfume that she gave. She had a great love for Jesus. And it reminds me of the enormous love that God has for us. Because he gave the thing that was the most precious to him, his own son, that he sent to earth to die for us. Love. Love is based on a relationship with God. I cannot myself make fruit grow. So we're talking about love and joy and peace as fruit that grows. I can't make the fruit grow any more than an apple tree can make a banana grow or a plum tree make a pineapple grow. Doesn't happen. The fruit comes from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces this fruit in our lives. Now, we're going to look at a passage about fruit, which I haven't got here, but I'm going to read, hopefully, from the screen. And this tells us about how fruit is produced. Now, if you are a child or a teenager, or used to be one, if you want to do this, there's a word in this passage which is repeated several times. I want you to find the word. And if you'd like to count how many times it says that same word. Actually, can you see the word that's repeated? Which word can you see more than once in that bit? Remain. Okay, so remain. So, remain in me. It's Jesus speaking. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Did anybody count how many times it was? It's a lot, isn't it? When I counted it more than once. The first time I thought it was 10, the second time I thought it was 11. It's a lot of times. If God says something many times in the same few verses, it's important. Okay, it's important. So it's calling us to remain in Christ, in Jesus, like a vine. Now, I have something over here I wanted to show you. You know, if you know what this is, there's two bits. These are two branches of a vine. Okay? What do you think? Right. This is a North London vine. Okay? The one that's living lives on the corner of Southcote Road in Tufnell Park. And I picked these from the vine. So there's something wrong with them. What's their big problem? They're not connected to the vine. They're not connected to the vine. So these actually, oh, sorry, I've knocked a fruit off. These are showing what I wanted to show very well. Because that one was only picked yesterday, but it's no good. Is it going to bear any fruit? No, it's not. It's not attached. It's not going to produce any fruit. All I can do is put it in my garden recycling waste. That's all it's good for. Now, if we remain in the vine, if we remain in Jesus, we will bear fruit. God wants us to produce fruit. It shows that we belong to him. We've just read that. So we need to remain attached to Jesus. We need to be joined to Jesus. How do we do this? We do this by prayer. By prayer, by reading God's word, by hearing, listening to what he says and doing it, by meeting together, by keeping our hearts soft, like the good ground in the parable of the sower. Fruit grows slowly. It's a process, and God is not in a hurry. It will grow if those conditions are right. It will grow. God works in us. The Bible says God works in us, giving us the desire and the power to do what pleases him. We want to be like that, don't we? We want to please him. We want to have fruit that grows. So fruit that might start small but grows. So things change in our lives. Let's stand up. If you feel like you are in a boat in a storm and you can't do anything, you can't save yourself, this is a good place to be. We call out to Jesus because Jesus is the one who changes circumstances. You might feel, as we've been looking at these things, love and joy and peace, you might feel that your fruit isn't growing very much. You might feel a lack. Now, we can ask God for love and joy and peace, but actually these come from a relationship with him. It comes with us from us being joined to him. Let's pray. Lord God, I want to thank you that you change circumstances. To thank you that you rescue people who can't rescue themselves. Lord, I want to thank you that you want this fruit to grow in our lives. Thank you that it's the Holy Spirit which produces this fruit. It's not our trying, our effort. God, please help us to be in the right place. Help us, Lord, to be joined to you, to be attached to you, to draw from you. Lord, thank you that it's all in you. Lord, we thank you. We thank you because you are the one. You are the one who gives us the desire and the power to do what pleases you. Amen. If you want to pray with somebody, please. please do that if you want to pray.